Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Jerry Williams, and Paul Alexander is off tonight, but we do have some stuff we're going to cover today. It's going to be some, a lot of it's going to be the Amber Heard fiasco versus Johnny Depp. Now, today, they did the closing arguments on both sides. So they did their closing arguments. It was kind of funny because Johnny Depp's lawyers did the closing arguments, and I think they did for about like an hour, a little over an hour at first. So they went up first, took them about an hour to do it. Then Amber Heard's lawyers get up, and it's just so crazy what they're talking about. And they just start talking about some of the stupidest shit in the world. And it goes from the crazy debacle to where we are at now. And so what I'm saying is that Amber Heard, her lawyers, took 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours to come out and say the same shit they've been saying over and over. I mean, we spent, 3 weeks of them saying the same shit over and over. And, of course, it didn't really matter because, you know, Johnny Depp, I truly believe, is going to win this case. I truly believe he's going to win this, you know, this defamation case. And the reason why I say that is because there's several different things that have happened to him. Number one, when she produced that letter, that opt, or whatever they call it, the opt letter to the Sun, by the way, it's the Sun, not New York Times, Sun. And when she wrote that letter and she submitted that, when she sent that in, of course, Fantastic Beast was actually being produced. It was about ready to be produced, and they cut Johnny Depp out of that movie. Not only did they cut him out of that movie, they cut him out of the movie Pirates of the Caribbean 6, right? Because they said, no, we don't want anything to do with him, blah, 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 blah. And you got to think, that letter did not help his reputation. at all. It did not help his reputation. So the one thing I can say is that I'm glad that Johnny Depp televised this or wanted it televised, because if he did not request for it to be televised, we would not really get to know who Amber Heard was. And the truth of the matter is we got to see who Amber Heard is up front. And Amber Heard is truly a scary individual. She's not even a human, man. She is, I mean, she gets on the stand and said, oh, I'm a human being. No, you're not a human being, man. You are an incubus succubus is what you are. I mean, it's totally crazy that this psychopath is out there, and then all of a sudden she is trying to get money herself, saying Johnny Depp did this to her. But Johnny Depp has already, you know, they had no real signs of domestic violence. They had pictures that have already been proven that they've been recreated, photoshopped, and everything else. So obviously the shit that she's been submitting is false. She's a liar. And that's what she is. She's a lying, manipulating, psychopathic, narcissistic woman, or succubus, incubus, whatever you want to call her. But she is not anything that is kind. She's evil as evil can get. And she premeditated all this stuff. I mean, she truly premeditated everything that's been happening here. And it's true. She was taking pictures. She was audio doing audio clips and recording audios and videos. And so she was preparing. She was preparing for this. She knew that she was going to get to something like this and she would have to use this. And the TMZ thing, oh, my God, she actually – the truth of the matter is she contacted TMZ. I can guarantee you that. She contacted TMZ because she is the source, and according to their witness that was from TMZ, an ex-employee, that the only way to produce or put a video out has to come from the source, and it has to be the copyright. So that means the source of the person would be what? Amber Heard. And so when the video was sent to them, of course, she cut it all up so that way the video she sent to them was actually the full video where she's smirking and laughing in the beginning, and she, you know, and she's just trying to say, well, you know what? I mean, you got to understand, she was going to have Johnny Depp go off, and she wanted to film him so she can try to make him look like he's a threat to people. Him hitting the fucking cabinets, it doesn't mean that he's a violent person towards anybody. How many of us have gotten upset and probably hit something like a cabinet or a door or kicked a door? I mean, everybody does it. It doesn't mean that you're a violent abuser towards somebody because you do that. And if you say things like, you know, I mean, you know, guy talk, you call it. I mean, come on, you know? It's funny because people didn't, you know, I guess, like, for example, Donald Trump. Okay, we'll go back to Donald Trump for a minute. Do you remember when they came out with the Access Hollywood bust or whatever it was? Donald Trump said, yeah, I like to grab him by the pussy, you know. Well, this is what I'm saying. Everybody said, ooh, he's an evil person, sick. But the problem is that even though he said it, it doesn't necessarily mean that he was, you know, a predator towards people. So I guess that's what I'm trying to say here, is that what Johnny Depp was saying in his text messages, you know, where he said that, you know, I want to wreck her like a sloppy blah, blah, blah. Well, this is guy talk, so I'm not going to even go there with that shit. But Amber Heard and her lawyers were trying to prove that Johnny Depp is a predator. But what we have seen throughout this whole court case is that Amber Heard is the predator. She is the one who is the incubus succubus. She is the one who is the aggressor in a relationship. And I believe she's the abuser as well. And when she wrote that letter, and she admitted she wrote the letter, by the way, when she admitted she wrote the letter, that's it. I mean, she wrecked Johnny's career is what she tried to do. And it did hurt him. It really did hurt him. Now, she lost some issues with Aquaman, too, and some other issues. And the thing is, that's not Johnny Depp's fault, because they've had the president from Warner Brothers come out and say that Amber Heard was not a good fit. They were having problems with her in the first one. Chemistry between her and Momoa was not working. So they thought they would recast for a second one. They would recast her role in Aquaman 2. And that's why, again, it's not Johnny Depp's fault for that. You know what I mean? It's not Johnny Depp's fault. It is clearly Amber Heard who has the issue. And then you got to think to yourself, well, and then she shits on his bed and blames it on a small fucking dog, thinking that that big ass turd came from a little dog. No, 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 Amber. We know that you shit on his pillow or his bed or whatever. So, you know, that's why we call her Amber Turd, because she's a shitter. She likes to shit in people's beds. I just think that it's anybody that does that, it has to be really fucked up in the head. I'm sorry, but that's true. I could never possibly think about that if somebody was to shit in your bed. If you shit in somebody's bed, there's something wrong with you, right? Of course, you know, Amber Heard is making up all kinds of accusations and stories and lies and everything else. And then she says, you know, well, when they were in that trailer in Hicksville, that woman that touched her and Johnny Depp supposedly grabbed her by the arm and then grabbed Amber and blah, blah, blah. You know what's funny is that none of those people that she mentions there, and there were several people there with them, nobody was there as a witness to say that they seen that. So that's what I'm saying. To me, there's a lot of false accusations that they were putting out there against Johnny Depp. And these false accusations were just like bullshit things. I would even call it hearsay, because that's what it is. But then again, you got to think that Amber Heard then produced photographs, and they found that those photographs were doctored, and the photographs were not really a complete series, according to one expert. So this is why we have to realize this. And then, you know, Amber Heard wanted to say she has PTSD. You know, she doesn't have PTSD, I can tell you right now. And you're probably saying, well, how do you know that? Well, number one, the expert said she didn't have PTSD, except for her back alley doctor that she hired to do it, that she paid, what, $5,000 for. So maybe, you know, that's what that is. But the thing is, when they mention stuff that happens, when they were mentioning her, you know, telling her story about how she was, you know, raped and blah, 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 and all this stuff, you know, she said that they were describing Johnny Depp putting a pop bottle up or a beer bottle, whatever the hell it was, up her, you know, her vagina. And the thing is that she didn't, I mean, she was just kind of like going, you know, showing facial, and then she went away. But the thing is, if you were really traumatized on that, you couldn't even possibly even start to think what it would be like, because that person would be crying so hard and traumatized. That's what the word is, traumatized, that they would shake and piss their pants even being in the same room with Johnny Depp with the stuff that she said that he did to her. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of shit that she's done that's really screwed up. But that's Amber Heard. We can't really trust what Amber Heard says. She's a big-ass liar. By the way, there might be some sounds that's going on in the recording here. It goes, if it does, please ignore it. There's some issues with the sound tonight. Get into this audio now. Remember Osmond Gold from YouTube? He always analyzes this whole court case and everything. But today they were in court. They were in court to do they did their what do they call it? The they did their closing arguments, or whatever you want to call it, closing statements. And so both sides got to do the closing statements with a little bit of a rebuttal. The jury has already deliberated. They said we're going to go ahead and come back on Tuesday because Monday's a holiday, and then they'll find out what happens, which is going to be pretty interesting because I would like to find out. I'm so excited to find out because I want to know. But even if Johnny Depp is not awarded anything or he doesn't win, let's just say he didn't win that part. You know, the jury goes, oh, I just don't believe in America. There they go. If that happens, let me just say that I'm not worried about it because Johnny Depp putting this out, you know, having this publicly done, allows us to see who Amber Heard truly is and how psychotic and sick she is. So in my book, Johnny Depp's already won. And I hope I know that people out there that is, you know, like the Warner Brothers and all of them, they've seen it too. It ain't just that it's the chemistry that, you know, Amber Heard doesn't have with Momoa. I'm sure Momoa said, get her the fuck away from me. I'm sure that she, you know, the producers and directors and CEOs and executives of these companies said, you know what, we don't want her around either because she's a threat. She's a poisonous snake in the grass, and we don't want her here. I guarantee you that's what it is. But let's get into it. Here it is. We're going to try to play the audio as best as we can. If it sounds funky or anything, please bear with it as best as we can, because sometimes the audio clips will act goofy, but please bear with me on it, okay? So let's get into it. Here is Osmond Gold from YouTube. And here is the court case of today. If you missed it, here it is.
Okay, I've played this four times. Mr. Depp denied that he was actually saying the day that I chopped my finger off. Let's hear it one more time.
Okay, here we go.
I'm talking about Australia.
Yeah, we're talking about Australia. Okay.
The day that I chopped my finger off. So let's fast forward to March 23rd, 2015. After just a Australia, Mr. Depp has a finger free, no doubt about that. He comes home, he gets a call from the podcast, which you heard his treating physician and our experts say doesn't have sides on it, but it's a hard plaster cast over the top.
The same thing that you use
in that. And they got an argument with his first
scar
with a woman named Rochelle that had been wedding after the wedding, and she confronted him about that. No surprise there, they got into the
seat. No.
At some point in the argument, he bolted up the stairs. Now, Travis McGivern's claims that she drew a Red Bull can at him. She and Whitney Enriquez say that absolutely didn't happen. But even if you believe Mr. McGivern,
please.
Mr. Depp went up the stairs. To the fight. This is the man that claims he always wants to run, and this time he had a bodyguard with him. So he could have just walked out the door, but he runs up the stairs.
Yeah.
Sitting on the crest of the stairs, and Amber admitted that when she thought he was about to push her down, admitted grabbing at her and Amber with his free hand, trying to club them with the cast. And she said, I punched him square in the face. I punched him square in the face. And they showed you the picture of the time that she had. That Mr. Depp had.
Oh my God.
They're trying to say she's the abuser for defending herself and her sister from this animal who's running at them. This person,
I told him
a hurt finger. Yeah. What? You're different than rearranging.
Oh my God.
I don't know what you all do when you rearrange your closets, but I hope it doesn't look like this. This is really holy crap. It's not a good but it hurt things couldn't possibly have hit this herd with fake length. That in and of that destruction of property, even if he hadn't hit her that night, that's abuse. Imagine being married to someone and walking on eggshells so thick that you don't know if you set them off, if that's what's going to happen.
Wouldn't it be so thin?
That's abuse. And it's disgusting. I'm going to apologize. It's not getting from the soul. I'm just untruths for the sole purpose of hurting you. Grievous error, shame. cycles. He went in the she thought he could change for good, and when it was really good.
Yeah.
But then sometimes things like December 15th came around, where she remembers him chasing her in the kitchen. She remembers him showing her two or three times and sending her toppling over a chief's lounge, saying, "You really want to go again?" She looked at him, and he balled up his fist, leaned back, headbutted her square in the nose, and pounded her head with the back of his fist so she couldn't breathe on that bed that we're going to see in a second, where she was standing and she said, "This is my bullying, and he doesn't even know what he's doing because he's out of his mind." And these are the pictures that they claim. I don't know what they're claiming. I don't know if they're claiming she painted on the bruise. Look under her eye. And again,
oh my God.
Their theory is that all of this is a lie. All of this was some grand hoax.
Yeah.
If this were a hoax, she'd have worse experience than that. She really duped up. She took pictures as they existed when she stood at the time of abuse. And yet Ms. Vasquez has the nerve to say, "Well, why didn't she video an incident of abuse?" What, if she's being hit, she's grabbing the camera with one hand while she's defending herself with another hand. You heard her in one of the audio tapes talking about when she hit him as he was trying to barge at her and she got her feet caught under a door as he's coming after her. And of course, as Don Hughes specified, to victims, of course, of control like this, they do try to appease their and apologize for being involved. You door into me, and I have to hit you to get away, to protect myself. Yeah, she did apologize for that. That's the cycle of violence. That's what victims do. They continue. No, I mean, she painted on that bloody lip. And again, we're talking about a hoax. The next day, she was on James. The injury there must not have. She would have to be first in the world. Sam?
It's her lie. And she lied again, and she kept lying.
Of course she did.
She lied 2 years ago on May 27th, 2016, when she walked into court in Los Angeles to publicly accuse Mr. Depp of abuse for the first time. She lied again when she told the world over and over again that she donated all of the $7 million settlement to charity.
Yeah.
You heard the evidence about what she donated, and you watched her. Watch her try to save her life about that broken promise with more lies on the stand in this courtroom. She lied again when she told the world in her op-ed on December 18, 2018, that she was a public figure representing domestic abuse, painting herself as a representative of abuse survivors and painting Mr. Depp as a representative of perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
She's come too far. She can't back down.
Yep.
She lied too many times to too many people. So when Mr. Depp finally decided to fight to clear his name by filing this lawsuit, Ms. Heard responded by making up more and more stories of more and more extreme abuse.
Mm-hmm.
She came up with a new accusation that Mr. Depp had raped her with a bottle in Australia. And she's making new claims up even now. At this trial, the very first time, she claimed that she had been sexually assaulted the night of her 30th birthday, even though she had testified repeatedly about her birthday prior and never mentioned it. And at this trial, she also claimed for the very first time that Mr. Depp was hitting her all the time during the first year of their relationship.
Yep.
Even though this first year she had testified previously,
another retcon,
was magic and bliss with absolutely no violence. Her story is a constantly moving target. It never stays the same. Mr. Depp owns his mistake. He owns all of them. You saw him do it on the stand in a raw and powerful way. But in this trial, Ms. Heard has been confronted with her lies and the damage she has caused. And she cannot take any responsibility for what she has done. And you've seen the story, her story, it doesn't hold up. You watched her performance on the stand. You saw her get caught in lie after lie. The time has come for those lies to come to an end. The time has come for you, the jury, to decide the truth.
Damn. Okay.
I started this trial giving you an opening statement, and I said to you that words matter. And this case is about Ms. Heard's words, the words she published in an op-ed about Mr. Depp. Ms. Heard and her attorneys have talked a lot about, in this trial, about the First Amendment. They've talked about the importance of free speech, and we agree.
Yeah.
As lawyers, of course I agree with that. But the First Amendment doesn't protect lives that hurt and defame people.
Exactly.
And there's a difference. Ms. Heard has no right to tell the world that Mr. Depp physically or sexually assaulted her when that isn't true. That's not protected speech.
No.
Our U.S. Constitution doesn't protect that speech.
It's horseshit.
And it is a core value of American society that you are innocent until proven guilty.
Imagine.
There is a presumption of innocence in this country.
There was.
A person's life cannot and should not be destroyed by a baseless charge and no opportunity to defend yourself.
Yep.
That's why Mr. Depp had to bring this claim.
Fucking agree with that.
The church is never going to stop calling him an abuser. The only way to clear his name was to stand up in this court where both sides are bound by the same rules of American law. A jury would be tasked, you, ladies and gentlemen, would be tasked with deciding once and for all Ms. Heard's lies could be exposed in a fair and impartial process. When Mr. Depp sued her, Ms. Heard apparently decided she needed to sue him back. And because there were no statements made by Mr. Depp on which she could base the claim, she sued him based on statements made by one of his lawyers, Adam Waldman, calling Ms. Heard's accusations of abuse a hoax. She made up a mistake, though. They are a hoax. Ms. Heard made up claims of abuse, and then she gave a performance where she passionately repeated those made-up claims of abuse on the stand in front of each.
She called it a performance.
But ask yourself.
I love it.
Who's really the one alleging a hoax here? Who wants you to believe that everyone else is lying and committing perjury? Ms. Heard needs you to believe that all the people who showed up in this courtroom to testify on behalf of Mr. Depp, they're all lying.
Uh-huh.
She needs you to believe that the witnesses you heard from, including security professionals, former cops, medical professionals, and police officers, they're all lying. Covering up for Mr. Depp, she's asking you to believe that she's the one telling the truth and that the rest of the people in Mr. Depp's life are all part of a conspiracy of silence. This case is not just about whether you believe Mr. Depp or you believe Ms. Heard. This case is about whether you believe Ms. Heard or whether you believe Mr. Depp, Chrissy Dombrowski, who, yes, is here, supporting her brother. Isaac DeRoute, who weeps in front of the world. Keenan Wyatt, who works for Mr. Depp. Sean Betts, a former L.A. Sheriff's Department. Malcolm Connolly, who work in the prisons in the UK. Starling Jenkins, a former U.S. Marine. Travis McGivern, also another former police officer. Ben King, who works for the Queen of England. David Kipper, Dr. David Kipper. Ms. Heard's doctor. And yes, Mr. Depp's doctor.
Uh-huh.
Debbie Lloyd, a nurse. Aaron Filotti, Ms. Heard's personal nurse. Officer Spines, an L.A. police officer with training in domestic violence. Officer Haddon, her understudy, yes, in the first week, studying to pick up on these signs of domestic abuse. Officer Gatlin, Brandon Patterson, who worked at Eastern Columbia Building. Kate James, her former personal assistant.
Damn.
Carol Roberts. Alejandro Romero.
The other people in charge.
He took his deposition from his car because he had to go to work. It didn't stop him from telling the truth. Edward White, Mr. Depp's business manager.
Yep,
Laura Wasser, one of the most famous divorce lawyers in California. Morgan Knight. Beverly Leonard. Morgan Tremaine. And Kate Moss. And all the other witnesses whose stories support Mr. Depp's description of what took place. These people have nothing to gain by coming forward. They have everything to lose.
That's true.
You have seen Mr. Woolman's statements and evidence in this case. When you look at them, you can tell that the key point Mr. Woolman was making in each of these statements was simply that Ms. Heard's accusations against Mr. Depp were lies.
Yes.
That's why he talks about an abuse hoax. Now, Ms. Heard has the burden of proof of proving that Mr. Woolman's statements are false. And that means that Ms. Heard has to do more than prove that Mr. Woolman got some details wrong.
Uh-huh. That's right.
She has to prove that Mr. Woolman's statements are false in their essential meaning. In other words, she has to prove that her abuse claims were not a hoax. But as you've seen, the evidence is overwhelming that Ms. Heard's claims of abuse are false. We should also spend a bit of time talking about actual malice.
Mm-hmm.
It is Ms. Heard's burden to prove that Mr. Waldman's statements were made with actual malice. And actual malice means knowledge that the statements were false or reckless, and that's an important word, reckless disregard for the truth.
That's what I was saying.
But here, there is clear evidence that Mr. Waldman genuinely believed that Ms. Heard had committed a hoax.
Yeah.
Watch is the testimony by deposition in this case. He testified about the evidence he found persuasive.
What?
The numerous witnesses and the sworn depositions of the police officers who went to the penthouse of that night and again saw no injury. There is no evidence in this record, none, that Mr. Waldman acted with actual malice.
Mm-hmm.
He believed Mr. Depp. He believed the record.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important to understand that because Mr. Waldman's statements were not made by Mr. Depp, Ms. Heard needs to prove that Mr. Waldman was acting as Mr. Depp's agent. And within the scope of that agency, within the scope of the agency of the employment, when he made the statement, Mr. Waldman is a lawyer. Ms. Heard has not presented evidence that making those statements was part of Mr. Waldman's responsibilities as Mr. Depp's lawyer. There's nothing in the record. Ms. Heard is also claiming to be suffering from PTSD and claims that she has something to do with Mr. Waldman's statements.
Oh.
Ms. Heard wants you to believe that she suffers from PTSD because Mr. Depp purportedly abused her.
Of course.
But as usual, Ms. Heard is not telling the truth. As you heard from Dr. Shannon Curry, Ms. Heard does not have PTSD, and she does not act like a person with PTSD. Ms. Heard is an actress in a major film, involved in some OEA training. She just had a baby. Dr. Curry also found that Ms. Heard attempted to grossly exaggerate her symptoms during testing, which is a sign of malingering, or said differently, of Ms. Heard lying.
Again.
Ms. Heard asked Dr. Don Hughes to help her with this narrative.
Yep.
Dr. Hughes did not catch Ms. Heard's exaggeration during testing, because Dr. Hughes used an improper malingering screen test. She wasn't going to find it. One that is meant to identify an examinee's attempt to fake a severe mental illness or psychosis, not PTSD. Dr. Hughes diagnosed Ms. Heard with PTSD without administering the gold standard diagnostic test used for PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
She diagnosed her, think about that, she diagnosed her with PTSD before administering the test she admitted was the gold standard. 2 years after diagnosing Ms. Heard with PTSD, and shortly after Dr. Curry administered the gold standard diagnostic test in her evaluation of Ms. Heard, but before it was disclosed, Dr. Hughes decided to administer the gold standard, finally. Nevertheless, even after Dr. Hughes used the proper test, there were a number of deficiencies in her administration of that test.
She wasn't controlled for PTSD from being a kid.
Including her failure to even follow the instructions that render her diagnosis unreliable.
Get it out of here.
Ms. Heard's claim for monetary damages related to Mr. Waldman's statements, frankly, it's a fantasy. Ms. Heard speculates wildly that she has somehow been damaged by Mr. Waldman's statements. But in reality, Ms. Heard has not shown any damage at all that was because of or by Mr. Waldman's statement. There's evidence of a mountain of negative press coverage about Ms. Heard, including press reports about her decapitating Mr. Duff's bed, cutting off his finger, and putting out a cigarette on his face.
Ooh.
But none of that has anything to do with Mr. Waldman's statement.
Nope.
And the turd has presented no evidence, none, of any film or other project that she lost because of the statement.
She's too much.
In fact, her from Warner Brothers president, Walter Hamada, who explained that Ms. Turd suffered no loss, none, no loss of compensation or other adverse effect on her major film, Aquaman 2.
There it is.
You heard it straight from him.
You know, the president.
Ms. Turd's expert, Catherine Arnold, testified. But for the statements from Mr. Waldman, Ms. Turd would be a much more successful in her career. To form this opinion, Ms. Arnold compares Ms. Turd to actors such as Jason Momoa, the actual Aquaman, Chris Pine, Gal Gadot, and Zendaya. But as Richard Marks, who does deals every day, that's his job.
He's in the trenches.
Here for a paycheck.
Yeah.
Does deals in Hollywood.
That's the trench guy.
And Doug Banya both testified that these actors are simply not comparable to Ms. Turd. After all, Jason Momoa, he was Aquaman.
He was.
Chris Pine,
Captain Kirk.
Gal Gadot,
Wonder Woman.
Zendaya, she's been acting since she was 13 years old on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And she's in every single Spider-Man movie. Further, the Q scores of these actors are not at all comparable with Ms. Turd's Q scores. As Mr. Banya testified, Ms. Turd's rating was less compared to these actors, and all of Ms. Turd's Q scores ratings were less favorable than the average of all performers. As you heard from Michael Spindler, because Ms. Arnold relies on the salaries of these comparable actors to calculate Ms. Turd's damages, Turd's claim for damages makes no sense. There's no connection. Further and more fatal.
Kind of with the egos, too.
That there's no connection to Waldman's statement. Even if you find damage, her career has to be connected to the defamatory statement.
Yeah. It's impossible.
There is no connection. Banya testified that all the negative tweets that Ms. Turd has entered into evidence have no causal connection to the statements underlying Ms. Turd's counterclaims. Specifically, Ms. Turd's expert, Mr. Ron Schell, presented a flawed methodology that included picking out hashtags at random, including justice for Johnny Depp. What does that have to do with the Waldman statement? And counting accompanying tweets, even though it has nothing to do with Mr. Waldman. Ms. Turd's counterclaim is based on statements by Mr. Waldman, not Mr. Depp. Ms. Turd knows perfectly well that she hasn't suffered any damages from those statements. Buried at the bottom of articles, the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
And the statements are substantially true since all they do really is point out that Ms. Turd's abuse allegations are false.
She's only got 6 minutes left.
Ms. Turd's counsel argued that Ms. Turd did not write the title of the online version of the op-ed, which stated, "I spoke up against sexual violence and faced our culture's wrath. That has to change." Does not matter whether or not Ms. Turd wrote the title. You will recall from the court's instructions this morning that what matters is whether Ms. Turd republished the defamatory language.
Which she did.
That instruction states in part that you should find Ms. Turd republish this article if she, quote, retransmitted the defamatory material with the goal of achieving a new audience.
Yes.
Stated differently, publication occurs when the speaker has affirmatively, that's important, affirmatively reiterated the statement. Ms. Turd affirmatively reiterated the statement. She posted it on her Twitter. So could please pull up Plaintiff's Exhibit 3?
Let's look at it. Let's see it. She's done. They got 6 minutes to put all this to bed. It's not
this
going
to happen. This is the tweet Ms. Turd sent. She repeated the Washington Post, her own Twitter followers. And she affirmatively reiterated the statement by proudly declaring, "Today I published this op-ed in the Washington Post."
Uh-huh.
She didn't quibble with the title.
No.
She said proudly, "Today I published this op-ed in the Washington Post." The title of the op-ed was prominently displayed in the tweet. That is enough for you, members of the jury, to find that Ms. Turd republished the title of the op-ed in and adopted the statement as her own. She can and should be held liable and responsible for that statement. Ms. Hurd tries to make something out of the fact that Mr. Waldman reported her to law enforcement in Los Angeles for perjury after her allegations of abuse were made against Mr. Depp. But I'll submit to you that all this proves is that Mr. Waldman believes Ms. Hurd has committed perjury. Mr. Ronborn argued that the lack of supporting evidence for Ms. Hurd's allegations of horrendous, constant abuse is somehow not something to be considered.
Uh-huh.
And it is shameful for you to consider the fact that you document all the terrible injuries that she claims to have suffered.
Asking questions makes you bad.
That is a twisted argument.
Yeah.
First, you know, because you have seen and listened to Ms. Hurd in action, that Ms. Hurd is a woman who is documenting things throughout the relationship. And it is instructive that the things she chose to document had nothing to do with violence. She documented Mr. Depp sleeping.
Nah.
She documented lines of cocaine.
Awful.
Featuring prominently Mr. Depp's loan out company or production company, Infinitum.
Mm-hmm.
Stage photographs. That's what she documented. Rottenborn's entire argument assumes that Mr. Depp, a man, should be disbelieved. Because despite the fact that Ms. Hurd can't support her accusations with actual evidence, what we have put to you, the jury, is not that because Ms. Hurd didn't take enough pictures or tell people about abuse that it didn't happen. What we have put to you is that given how brutal and constant the abuse Ms. Hurd claims,
mm-hmm.
she would have had serious injuries.
Yeah, of course.
That's a fact. She would have had 100%. Serious injuries. That would have been observable in the pictures we looked at and by the witnesses we heard from, and would have required medical attention. That's it. Ms. Hurd testifies to injuries that multiple people didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
What you have in the end is Ms. Hurd's word. Do you trust it?
No. No.
We are not here because Ms. Hurd told the world Mr. Depp was verbally abusive. This is not about the words used by Mr. Depp. We are here because Ms. Hurd told the world that Mr. Depp was physically and sexually abusive.
Yep.
That's what Ms. Hurd was saying in the op-ed.
Obviously.
On May 27th, exactly 6 years ago today, 2016, Ms. Hurd walked into court with a mark on her face to tell the world that her husband was abusive. She renewed that falsehood in her op-ed, describing herself as a public figure representing domestic abuse. And she published the op-ed, including the title, claiming that she spoke up against sexual violence. Everyone knew who she was talking about when she used those words. She was alleging physical and sexual abuse. She was not alleging emotional or psychological abuse.
Sorry.
She was alleging physical and sexual abuse.
It's good that she's saying
that. She cannot run away from her own allegations now.
Yeah.
You have all heard the evidence of what she alleged against Mr. Depp in 2016.
It's good she
said
that.
You have all heard her incredibly dramatic, over-the-top story of physical and sexual abuse.
Oh, yeah.
That story is a defamatory lie. Ms. Hurd tried to argue that you only need to find that Mr. Depp might have touched Ms. Hurd once in order to find her favor, because that makes her a victim of abuse.
Uh-huh.
The common sense should tell you that you can't pick and choose Ms. Hurd's allegations. You saw her on the stand. We all did. She gave the performance of her life, telling the story after the story of abuse. And not just any
abuse. She sure did.
But extravagant, over-the-top allegations of abuse that was brutal, horrific, but true.
Yeah.
Either believe all of it, none of it.
Yeah.
Either telling the truth,
yeah.
including in her most extreme allegations, or she's lying. Raised by a bottle, or she's the sort of person who would get on the stand in this courtroom and lie to you and the world about being raped.
Uh-huh.
And if she would lie about that,
what else should we lie
what
about?
What would she lie about?
That's right. That's
you
right.
You can't find that Mr. Depp hit her once. Either he hit her countless times, or you can't believe a single word that comes out of her mouth.
You're going to cry. No.
And what is the actual meaning of Ms. Hurd's op-ed? That's an important question. It's not that Mr. Depp said a nasty word to her once.
Uh-huh.
It's not that Mr. Depp might have hit her once. It's that she is a representative of domestic abuse.
Uh-huh.
And by extension, Mr. Depp is a representative of abuse perpetrators.
Yep.
Words matter.
Show
them. Hurd has shown you a lot of text messages from Mr. Depp with some very vivid language.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you at the start of this trial, Mr. Depp has a unique style of writing.
Yeah.
He uses words I don't use. And you probably don't use either.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
But as you also heard during this trial, Mr. Depp writes in that way in part because he modeled his writing on literary giants like Hunter S. Thompson. And he's got a dark sense of humor. Not everyone's a cup of tea.
I like him.
But it's who he is.
I like him. Yeah.
And Mr. Depp owns text messages. He acknowledges that he said those things, and he said things that he shouldn't have. Using bad language and colorful humor does not mean that you are a violent abuser.
It sure doesn't.
And ironically, as much as Mr. Depp is trying to use Mr. Depp's words against him, it is Ms. Hurd who repeatedly admitted to violence.
Mm-hmm.
In her own words, you've heard the tape. You've heard her admit to violence. Hurd can try to distract you with text messages showing that Mr. Depp uses bad language and has a dark sense of humor.
Yep.
But none of that, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, none of that is evidence of abuse. Hitting your husband is evidence of abuse.
I think that's true.
Mr. Ron Horn talked about the burden of proof. Mr. Depp only has to show that it is more likely than not, that the statements in the op-ed are false. That it is more likely than not that they have a defamatory implication. That it is more likely than not that Ms. Hurd designed and intended the statements to refer to Mr. Depp.
That's you.
And the evidence on these points is clear. Ms. Hurd made these allegations 6 years ago today, May 27, 2016. She went out of her way to make them public, tipping off TMZ. When she published the op-ed, it was reminding everyone in Hollywood and the world of her abuse claims. And those claims are a lie. Consider what the true purpose of the article. Mr. Ron Born said it was to promote legislative reforms. But what was it actually? The evidence shows it was to promote Ms. Hurd. It was time to be released at the same time as Aquaman on December 21st, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it was time to coincide with her announcement of her ambassadorship at the ACLU for Women's Rights. That's not a coincidence. It was designed that way. That was not a statement about legislative reforms. This was about furnishing her at the expense of Mr. Depp.
That's right.
It was about Ms. Hurd continuing to portray herself as a heroic survivor of abuse.
Oh, wow.
And on the question of actual malice, that just means whether or not Ms. Hurd knew the allegations were false.
Yep.
Ms. Hurd knows perfectly well.
But she was there.
Abused.
Yeah.
That's direct knowledge of that.
Obviously.
She was in that relationship. So actual malice is easily established.
Mm-hmm.
You may have noticed that no one showed up from the turd in this courtroom other than her sister. Every other witness who traveled to Virginia for her was a paid expert. This is a woman who burns bridges.
Yeah.
Her close friends don't show up for them.
That's right, because they're not her friends.
Mr. Rottenhorn tried to discredit Mr. Depp's witnesses by suggesting they're all on Mr. Depp's payroll. So he doubled down on the hoax theory that everyone's just lying. First of all, it's not even true Keaton Wyatt isn't on his payroll. Ben King isn't on his payroll. Officer Melissa Stein isn't on his payroll. Morgan Tremaine is not on his payroll. Officer Tyler Haddon, he's not on his payroll. Beverly Leonard, Alejandro Romero, Brandon Patterson, Morgan Knight, none of those people are on his payroll.
Walter Amato wasn't either.
Kate Moss who's most definitely not on Mr. Depp's payroll.
Yep.
Ms. Heard wants you to believe that all these people are lying. Let's talk about the Boston plane. Ms. Heard wants you to believe that the recording you heard is from the Boston plane flight. But that's quite telling. What did Ms. Heard capture of this supposed rampage? Mr. Depp moans in distress. That's what she chose to report.
Wow.
What sort of person records something like that?
Yep.
What sort of person takes pictures of their husband or boyfriend or fiance who's struggling
She's
to survive?
Smiling because of talking about how crazy she is.
With ice cream dripping down his leg.
Yeah.
His hand in his pocket. Or asleep on the ground. What sort of person does that?
A fiend.
Definitely
a demon.
Not someone afraid of. That was completely, utterly inconsistent with the testimonies of officers Sine and Haddon, who testified clearly that they saw no signs of injury, no sign of property damage. And she told a story about how Officer Sadanaga's testimony was also wrong. She testified that the report was only required in case of a crime. Ms. Heard's attorneys tried to tell you that Depp apologized on May 22nd because he had hit Ms. Heard. Mr. Depp didn't apologize to Ms. Heard on May 22nd for hitting her. He apologized because he was leaving Ms. Heard. And this was a woman that in spite of all her violence and all her rage, Mr. Depp, he loved her.
Big mistake. Big
he
mistake.
He had been with her for years. Of course he apologized when he finally broke it off.
Yeah, it feels bad.
Fredahoff also tried to tell you that Ms. Heard did everything in her power to keep the authorities away and to not get Mr. Depp in trouble on May 21st, 2016. Take a minute and think back to what Ms. Heard did 6 days later, 6 years ago today.
Well, it's because she wanted to hold
her over to court with a visible mark on her face, not wearing makeup that day. Picked off TMZ, made it public.
Mm-hmm.
It showed up on the cover of People magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Was that protecting Mr. Depp? Or was she trying to destroy him?
I'd use it as collateral.
Mr. Rothhorn asked you to consider why you're here. So why are you here? You're here because of a lie. And that was a lie that Ms. Heard repeated in the op-ed. At the start of this trial, we told you that this trial is about the evidence. The evidence overwhelmingly shows that Ms. Heard is an abuser and that she is a liar. She lied about Mr. Depp and took on the role of a lifetime as a public figure representing domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
What is her best evidence of that abuse? Of Mr. Depp banging cabinets around and text messages of Mr. Depp using bad words. Dark, ugly humor, but never once admitting to abuse. Pictures of Mr. Depp sleeping. That's your best evidence.
He's asleep. He hit me right afterwards.
Heard held herself out to the world as a representative of abuse survivors everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The face of the Me Too movement. This is not a Me Too situation. There are no Me Too. Just not Me's. Ms. Heard does not deserve to be known as a representative of survivors of abuse.
That's
and
right.
Mr. Depp does not deserve to be known as a representative of perpetrators of abuse.
Me poo.
That is what this case is about. It's not about money. It's about giving Mr. Depp his life back 6 years ago when she took it away.
Yep.
While you deliberate, ask yourself why Mr. Depp would put himself through this, expose every embarrassing detail of his life on national television, that he was guilty of anything that Ms. Heard accuses him of.
That's a good point. Yeah, why would you do
it? We ask you, we implore you, to render a verdict to Depp. We ask you to set the record straight that he is not the abuser she described and that he is not the heroic survivor she betrayed. And we ask you to tell her that what she is wrong.
That's right.
Very much for you.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's right.
let's do it. Oh, they're going to put him up?
That's
a good idea. If they were going to have her go up there, that 6 minutes would be gone so fast. That 6 minutes would be like, oh, there it is. It's gone. All right, let's see it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting that in both their opening and their rebuttal closing, that you heard Mr. Depp's attorneys address none of Ms. Heard's witnesses. None of Ms. Heard's witnesses. They listed their own. You didn't see who were on his payroll, weren't there behind closed doors. They didn't address Rocky Pennington, Liz Mars, who were all there on May 21st. Melanie Iglesias, who covered Ms. Heard's bruises. No one showed up for her. Showed up for her. They're not friends anymore. Then why would they be doing what they would suggest are lying for her? Why would they be corroborating everything that she says?
They're doing what they heard.
It's this simple.
Oh, God.
If you believe that Depp was abusive to Amber one time ever, any of the very not only physical, verbal, emotional, psychological, sexual, any of the ways of abuse, then your job is very easy. And you can not only deny Mr. Depp, my interesting to Ms. Vasquez, she has changed their theory after 6 weeks. She said, oh, well, domestic abuse just means physical abuse. It's not what Mr. Depp said, not what Dr. Curry said, it's not what Dr. Hughes said, it's not what you know to be true.
It's,
you know,
it is what Amber implied, though.
Now, the suggestion that Amber's abuse Mr. Depp can say whatever he wants now, but he can't say it changed the evidence that you've seen at the trial. The evidence shows that Ms. Heard did not commit abuse hoaxes. Not about sexual violence, not about the first 20, certainly not about that Mr. Wong's catch-all line. Suggest that every one of her allegations are false. Evidence shows that she was exactly how not only she, but her witnesses supporting her claim, made she, and their claim. Ms. Vasquez talked about actual malice. She said, because Mr. Waldman was acting, you have to look at Mr. Waldman. They're standing in the shoes of one another. And as this Depp malice is Mr. Waldman.
Oh.
Mr. Depp and malice is Mr. Waldman's malice.
Of course.
The actual actual malice.
Sure, bro.
Now, after years of controlling the role that Ms. Heard took, Ms. Heard had the biggest portion. She withstood Depp's attempts to have her fired from Aquaman. And his own jealousy as his determined down the drain before her op-ed for reasons having nothing to do with Ms. Heard.
Oh.
Once the lawsuit against Ms. Heard was filed, his campaign.
Oh.
And it's that by Bailey Mann. Yes. By the plant. Him.
Oh, my God.
You've heard Amber and her agent,
Jessica
Bosovich, talk about the impact to Amber's career.
Mm-hmm.
She can't get hired because of the negative treatment she gets. Studios like her, co-stars like her, she tests well, but she can't get associated with Mr. Depp. Amber Heard on the stand yesterday, telling you that she is
a promise made.
That's a promise.
Yes.
To paraphrase Catherine Arnold, Ms. Heard's damages expert, that promise was a spark. And that promise, because he had told her again, she chose a different path out of it. He decided to. He decided throw that came involved, that spark became a forest fire. That fire is
time for a metaphor.
We asked old Mr. Death down. Victim. Gives Amber Heard her voice back. Give Amber Heard her life back. Thank you so much for your service on the jury.
Thank you, Mr. Rottenborn. Members of the jury, this is a case to both the plaintiff and the defendant. In order to reach a verdict, each of you must agree on that verdict. In other words, your verdict must be unanimous.
Oh.
The first thing you should do when you go back to the jury room is to select a presiding juror. The role of the presiding juror is to see to it that the deliberations are conducted in an orderly and businesslike manner,
okay.
That they are conducted only in the jury room when all the members of the jury are present, and that each juror has the opportunity to fully and fairly express his or her views. It is rarely helpful for jurors upon first entering the jury room to take a strong vote or for any juror to make an emphatic expression of his or her opinion in the case or to announce a determination to stand for a certain verdict. To do so before all jurors have had an opportunity to consult with one another and exchange views and opinions might allow your sense of pride to prevent you from retreating from an announced position, even when shown that such a position is unsound. You have a duty to consult with one another and to deliberate with the objective of reaching an agreement, if it can be done without offending your individual judgment. Each of you must decide this case for yourself, but only after an impartial consideration of the evidence with your fellow jurors.
There's 12 angry men.
In the course of deliberation, a juror should not hesitate to reexamine his or her views and change his or her opinion if convinced it is an error. However, none of you should surrender your honest conviction as to the weight or effect of the evidence solely because of the opinion of your fellow jurors or for the mere purpose of returning a verdict. In the jury room, you will have the exhibits that were entered into evidence. You also have the instructions of law that I read to you, and you will have the verdict forms. You'll also have a laptop, and that laptop will have just two files on it, and set it up for you in the jury room. One is the plaintiff's files for audio and video files, and one's the defendant's files for audio and video files. You'll be able to hear and watch those as well, the ones that were submitted into evidence. During your deliberations until you are discharged from jury service, you must not communicate with or provide any information to anyone who is not a member of this jury by any means about this case. You may not use any electronic device or media to conduct any independent research about this case, the legal or factual issues in the case, and the individuals or attorneys involved in the case. You are not permitted to consult dictionaries or reference materials, search the internet, visit websites or blogs, or use any other tools to obtain information about this case or to help you decide the case.
Okay.
Do not try to find out information from any source outside testimony and the exhibits received as evidence during the trial. We will also have, I know the attorneys discussed briefly about the verdict forms. You'll have two sets of verdict forms, one for Mr. Depp's case and one for Ms. Hurd's case, okay? Now, when you have these verdict forms, the first three pages of both verdict forms have each of the statements separately. Okay, so when you're going through it, you're going to look at each statement separately and answer the questions that are on the page, okay? Now, if you come to, if you decide yes for every question for a statement, then that's when you go to the last page of the verdict form, which is for damages. So, for example, if you find yes for all of statement one, then you could go to four and five for damages. If you find yes for all statement one and statement two, you still go to four and five for damages. But yes for statement one, statement two, and statement three, you obviously go to four and five for damages. If you answer no on any of the pages for any of the statements, you don't go to four and five, okay? So that will be for all of them. And then when you do come to a verdict, make sure the foreperson signs it and dates it, and then just let the deputy know about that, okay?
All right.
All right, now,
here we go.
For the tough part, you may remember at the beginning of this case, I told you we would randomly select four people to be the alternate, okay? We still have two alternates left. And the numbers are placed in the envelope in the very beginning of the case. So let me just say before I release the alternate that I know that this trial has been a huge sacrifice for all of you.
Aww.
And I have taken, and you've taken away from your life for weeks on end here. And I know I speak for all of us associated with the case, and I want to thank you for your service in this matter. I know how hard it is to come this far and then not get a chance to deliberate, but that does not lessen the respect and admiration that we have for you. As an alternate, you will not deliberate, but you are still under order of this court not to do any outside research in this case or to talk to anyone about this case at this time, and you're still under your oath as a juror. That is because if something happens to a juror during deliberations, I will call you back for service, and you will join the deliberations, and they'll start again, and you'll be part of the jury.
Okay.
So you are under these restrictions and your oath until a verdict is reached. We will contact you once this has occurred, and then you'll be free from your obligations, okay? But again, thank you for your service, all right? So in this matter, the alternate jurors are juror number 3 and 14, all right? At this time, those jurors are excused, and also the remaining jurors can retire now to the jury room to begin their deliberations, okay? So thank you all, okay?
Okay, so now what? Video die? That's crazy, bro. I'll just do this one.
One attorney is close enough within a 10-minute range for any questions. I appreciate that. Okay? And I know some of the attorneys are going to be leaving, so I just wanted to thank all of you for your professionalism and your hard work during this case.
Yeah.
You're being a judge when you have excellent trial attorneys in front of you. It does make it easier. And I also want to thank the attorneys and litigants for the kindness and the great demeanor you've shown to my staff and to the courthouse staff and to the deputies in the sheriff's department. I really appreciate it. It means a great deal to me.
Good
okay?
boy.
And I also need you to the rock. Yes. All right.
That is one thing on which, Ms. Betterhoff, and we respectfully agree.
Well, good. I'm glad on the last day we've left.
You're used to it. He just like goes into it. He's like, all right. Stuck with his fear. He just like knows where it's going to be, right? Yeah, good one, Ben. Yeah, there you go. No, I mean, for them, they're fine. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just business for them. I feel like that's not really something they'd be mad about or anything like that. That's just, you know, that's the way it goes. You play the game, and sometimes you get it, sometimes you get got. You know, that's about it. Let me go back over and see how I get this shit working. All right, I think I just look and see what this. So now, damn, how did everything just get fucked up all at the same time? When's the verdict? The verdict could be any time. As far as I know, the verdict could be literally any time that they have it. Like, funny, everyone applauded except Amber. I mean, a lot of the people on her team didn't applaud. I'll say that fucking for sure. It's be on Tuesday. It's going to take hours. I have no idea, man. I really don't know. Imagine a 15-minute verdict, Donnie. Like, that would be quad W shit. Be like, yep. Yeah. All right. All right, let's go. But, yeah, it's you, I am, bro. Everybody knows it. And that's about it, yeah. Fuck it. Not anymore because she, you know, was on Johnny's bed. But, you know, I think that's it. I think that she's making it up. I think she's lying. I think that there are instances maybe where Johnny was mean to her. No, why would that happen? I don't really know. Was she the instigator of that? Was she being rude to him and then that was with them? And then her having the audacity to tell them that she, that she was the one that couldn't get away from him. Meanwhile, Johnny Depp, there's plenty of record evidence that was recorded privately that he just wanted to have some peace away from her.
Your Honor, counterclaimant Amber Heard, rest.
All right, thank you, ma'am. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard all the evidence you're going to hear in this matter. What I propose doing is to go ahead and give you the rest of the afternoon off. Have a good, restful afternoon and evening, and arguments tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and then the case will be submitted to you for deliberations. Just to give you a little logistics of how that will go, tomorrow I won't give you a time limit as far as how long you can deliberate in the afternoon into the evening. I will tell you.
Get those from advanced yet easy-to-use tools and start leading more customers down the path to purchase.
Ms. Hurd walked into a courthouse in Los Angeles, California, to get a no-notice ex-party restraining order against Mr. Depp.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, ruined his life by falsely telling the world that she was a survivor of domestic abuse at the hands of Mr. Depp. Today,
that's one way to say it.
On May 27th, 2022, exactly 6 years later, we ask you to give Mr. Depp his life back by telling the world that Mr. Depp is not the abuser Ms. Hurd said he is, and hold Ms. Hurd accountable for her life.
I like that.
Gentlemen of the jury, as you probably know by now, my name is Camille Vasquez. On behalf of Mr. Depp and all my colleagues at Brown Redneck, I want to thank you deeply for your time and your service over these last 7 weeks.
That'd be a pain in the ass.
We understand that it probably has not been convenient for you to be here every day, and we are so grateful for your time.
Same.
And careful consideration of the evidence to deliberate. After weeks of sitting in this courtroom, listening to testimony and looking at evidence, now it's time for you, the jury, to come to a decision. You have been entrusted with a serious task. What is at stake in this trial is a man's good name. Even more than that, what is at stake at this trial is a man's life. The life that he lost when he was accused of a heinous crime, and the life he could live when he is finally vindicated.
Yeah,
exactly
for real.
6 years ago today, on May 27th, 2016, Ms. Hurd walked into court and filed a false report of domestic abuse against her husband of 15 months. Johnny Depp. The scene was a setup. She tipped off the paparazzi so they would be waiting. They knew exactly where she would pause, which side of her face to photograph. And the photos captured what she wanted them to see.
Yep.
The image of a battered woman. What the paparazzi did not know is that the dark mark on her face mysteriously appeared 6 days after last seeing Mr. Depp. It was a lie. She knew it. Mr. Depp knew it.
Everybody knew it.
And the multiple witnesses you heard
talk
to that week of May 21st, 2016, also knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But the world
Everybody.
Only saw what she wanted them to see.
The class. Real class. Amber Heard granted restraining order against Johnny Depp for domestic violence accusations. And the People magazine article, look at that.
2 years later, when promoting the biggest role of her career, until this trial, Ms. Heard presented herself to the world as a public figure representing domestic abuse. The headline of the op-ed featured the term sexual violence, even though she had never before accused her ex-husband of such a heinous crime.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Hurd and her lawyers love to remind you of how the op-ed did not mention Mr. Depp by name. But Ms. Hurd made sure that there would be no mistake about who she was referring to.
That's so
she heard it 2 years ago.
Yep.
So the world would remember the photo of a battered woman, the mark on her face, standing outside the courthouse.
Days before
and they would once again see Mr. Depp as the villain, this time in full swing of the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
But what was happening behind closed doors was quite different from what Ms. Hurd presented to the world. The exact opposite, in fact. There is an abuser in this courtroom, but it is not Mr. Depp. And there is a victim of domestic abuse in this courtroom, but it is not Ms. Hurd. The evidence presented at this trial has shown that Ms. Hurd is, in fact, the abuser, and Mr. Depp, the abused. As you heard from Mr. Depp and multiple other witnesses that testified under oath, at this trial, Mr. Depp experienced persistent verbal, physical, and emotional abuse.
And you can see it.
By Ms. Hurd during their relationship.
You can see it.
And when the relationship was over, Ms. Heard inflicted the greatest and cruelest injury of all. She publicly and falsely named Mr. Depp as the abuser. Ms. Heard never thought she would be held accountable.
Of course
she never thought that she would have to face her abuser.
She thought she'd get away with it.
She never thought she would have her supposed mountain of evidence vetted. She never thought that Mr. Depp would tell you, the jury, and the world that he was a real victim of domestic abuse. She said it in her own words. Mr. Chu and I stood before you to give you our opening statements on behalf of Mr. Depp. During that statement, we made promises to you about what the evidence would ultimately show at the end of this trial. We've kept those promises. One of those promises we made was that you would come to understand who Ms. Heard is, that she is a deeply troubled person, violently afraid of abandonment, desperate for attention and approval, and in her relationship with Mr. Depp, she was violent. She was abusive. She was cruel. You heard from Dr. Shannon Kirby.
From the tapes.
She explained that Ms. Heard suffers from borderline personality disorder and histrionic personality disorder. These are disorders that are characterized by anger, sometimes uncontrollable and explosive anger, and a powerful, sometimes desperate need for attention, acceptance, and approval.
Ooh.
Fear of abandonment is the deepest fear. A person with these disorders will suffer from dramatically fluctuating moods and can sometimes be violent and aggressive. They can also be charming and likable, but they can be incredibly manipulative and wild. An emotional roller coaster with wild swings from idolizing their partner to devaluing him.
This is definitely.
In fact, we saw that when she completed testing with her own forensic psychology expert, Dr. Don Hughes. Ms. Heard self-reported that she said she had three or four different personalities, and that sometimes her temper would explode and she'd completely lose control. You heard from multiple witnesses that Ms. Heard can be very pleasant, even charming. But you also heard from multiple witnesses and in audio recordings of Ms. Heard that she can be incredibly aggressive, violent, and cruel. You heard that even from her former assistant, Kate James. Ms. James testified that Ms. Heard would scream, yell, and send her barrages of text messages. In fact, Ms. Heard testified that Ms. James testified that Ms. Heard literally spat in her face.
What?
First, her former best friend, Rocky Pennington, that Ms. Heard once hit her when Ms. Pennington did not do her best to meet Ms. Heard's needs.
What the fuck?
You also heard from Beverly Leonard that she once witnessed Ms. Heard assault her then partner in Seattle Airport in 2009.
You didn't see that.
And you heard from Mr. Depp that Ms. Heard used her sister Whitney as a punching bag, literally and figuratively. You also heard overwhelming evidence from Mr. Depp and the people that were around him and Ms. Heard during their relationship that Mr. Depp suffered persistent verbal and physical abuse at the hands of Ms. Heard. You've heard evidence from Dr. Curry and the fact witnesses of trial that Ms. Heard's deepest fear is one of abandonment, being left by Mr. Depp. Mr. Depp's greatest crime in her mind, the fault she confronts him with time and time again, is that he slipped. He leaves the fight, especially when Ms. Heard gets physical, and she couldn't stand it when he did.
Yep. Why was in the bathroom?
Heard from Ms. Heard herself in audio recording how upsetting it was to her when Mr. Depp was split.
Just to see his daughter.
Anytime you
split.
Unnecessary. It's not always you're splitting because there's clothes because he's yelling or anything. He splits most times when I'm still speaking in this volume and nothing has been thrown or hit or anything.
Yet.
You saw the
message
she was sending when he would leave, calling him a monster for doing so. You heard from witnesses like Travis McGivern, Tara Roberts, and and Debbie Lloyd that Ms. Hurd would claw at Mr. Depp, block the elevator, throw a punch when Mr. Depp tried to separate himself from the fight. And you heard from Mr. Depp and Ms. Hurd's couple therapist, Dr. Anderson, that Ms. Hurd reported when Mr. Depp would leave to de-escalate a fight, she would strike him to keep him there.
Mm-hmm.
She would rather be in a fight than have him leave. You heard from Mr. Depp about how often Ms. Hurd would berate him, insult him, and physically attack him, including one of the most serious occasions when Ms. Hurd threw a vodka bottle at Mr. Depp, severely injuring his finger, and then put a cigarette out on his face.
What the fuck? I never heard of that.
You heard from Mr. Depp that this whole incident in Australia started because Ms. Hurd was enraged that Mr. Depp wanted a post-nuptial agreement, and she wasn't in his will. Just a month after getting married.
Jesus.
When her husband was injured and bleeding from a partially amputated finger, what did Ms. Hurd do? She pursued him. She kept coming after him. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what she does.
Relentless.
She wouldn't stop.
Everyone wanted to see his daughter, I think, in Australia. Smiling with
You escape the solution. Escape figuring it out. We cannot work it out if you run away to the bathroom every time.
Then maybe you shouldn't.
You heard Mr. Depp testify. He went through something like a nervous breakdown that day. And he wrote a lot of things on mirrors and other places. Again, what did Ms. Hurd do as her husband was bleeding from serious injury? She wrote snarky messages right back to him.
Mm-hmm.
She denied it under oath to you, but the evidence you saw speaks for itself. You heard from Mr. Depp's security, Sean Bent, who was aware of constant arguing and bickering. He witnessed Ms. Hurd calling Mr. Depp names. Stop that. Fuck you, Johnny. Mr. Bent testified that he saw undocumented injuries on Mr. Depp. A swollen eyelid in March of 2015, cuts on his nose, scratch marks on his chin in December of 2015. And you heard from Travis McGivern, who testified that Ms. Hurd called Mr. Depp names like washed up, fucking cunt, and worst of all, a fucking deadbeat dad.
Bit much.
Ms. Hurd would take the low blows and hit him where it hurts, his children.
That's
Mr.
weird.
Mr. told you that on March 23rd, 2015, Ms. Hurd threw things at Mr. Depp, spat at him, and ultimately punched him in the face, leaving him with a shiner. You heard testimony from Malcolm Connolly, another security member, who testified he saw Ms. Hurd throw things at Mr. Depp, a cigarette lighter on a plane, a soda can from upstairs at the Eastern Columbia building. He never saw marks on Ms. Hurd, but he saw marks on Mr. Depp.
Yep.
Scratches, bruises on his left eye, scratches on his left ear. And he took pictures documenting injuries like this one.
Certainly looks suspicious. It's the tapes that are the most damning to
you. You also heard from Tara Roberts, a manager in Mr. Depp's island, who witnessed Ms. Hurd telling Mr. Depp that he was washed up and would die fat and lonely. You also heard from Ms. Roberts that she witnessed Ms. Hurd clawing and grabbing at Mr. Depp, grabbing his hair, trying to pull him back to her. And Mr. Depp had a visible injury to his nose on that occasion.
It's a wild animal, man.
You heard from Ms. Hurd yourself on multiple audio recordings admitting to being physically violent with Mr. Depp. You heard Ms. Hurd admit to hitting Mr. Depp.
She did. That's true.
I did not do this.
get in your name?
Smart guy.
And when Ms. Heard learned that Mr. Depp was done, that she was really losing him.
She filed the restraining.
She went on the attack. She filed for divorce before Mr. Depp could.
Yep.
Then, as you heard from Mr. Depp's divorce lawyer, Laura Wasser, Ms. Hurd sent a letter demanding financial support. And when her demands were met, Hurd struck a blow against Mr. Depp that was more damaging than any physical blow
she
had ever landed.
It's a restraining order.
When she walked into court 6 years ago today, May 27th, 2016, to get a domestic violence restraining order against Mr. Depp,
uh-huh.
she did so in front of paparazzi with a mark on her face.
On purpose.
The evidence presented at the trial demonstrates that Ms. Hurd didn't just want a divorce. She wanted to ruin him.
100.
Ms. Hurd denied alerting TMZ to the TRO filing in the courtroom. But you heard testimony from Morgan Tremaine that TMZ knew to go to the courthouse, knew what side of her face the alleged bruise was on, and that Ms. Hurd would pause. She would pause for paparazzi.
How would they know that what she would do?
And ended up splashed across newspapers and magazines.
Huh.
Ms. Hurd testified that she did not personally give photographs of her apparent injuries to People magazine, but somehow these pictures that she took and maintained on her devices ended up on the cover of People magazine 1 month later.
Just like the TMZ magically showed up at the courthouse. Isn't that interesting? Wow. How could that possibly happen? Look at that.
In the end, she walked away with $7 million without any tax liabilities, which she said she was donating to two charities.
But?
The ACLU and the Children's Hospital of Los Angeles.
For attention.
They got less than $1 million. And the Children's Hospital, they got $250,000. But that didn't stop Ms. Hurd from telling the world that she donated everything. Because remember, she wanted nothing. And she had donated everything. The word donated.
Mm-hmm. We saw the tapes.
That didn't stop her from testifying under the penalty of perjury that she had donated.
We saw the tapes.
Ms. Hurd tried to tell you that pledge and donate mean the same thing.
No.
She hasn't given the money because she was sued. But you've heard uncontested evidence that she has the money for 13 months prior to this lawsuit being commenced by Mr. Depp.
Mm-hmm.
She had all the money and had month after month after month just to fulfill her pledge and actually donate the money. But she didn't. She also told you that she never fulfilled the pledge because Mr. Depp sued her for defamation.
But that didn't happen until
That's
over a year.
That's blatant lie.
Yep, over a year later.
After the divorce was finalized, when she sought to initiate an arbitration against Mr. Depp for defamation, 3 months before the op-ed was even published, and 6 months before Mr. Depp filed his lawsuit. Not only does this contradict Ms. Hurd's excuse for not making donations, it contradicts her narrative that she just wants to move on with her life, that she just wants Mr. Depp to leave her alone.
Yep, that's right.
Lies. That is Ms. Hurd's narrative. Lies upon lies.
Has there ever been a bigger troll? I mean, it's so obvious. Who she's smiling? She'll only smile whenever she thinks about whenever she did something bad.
And that's my accusation. Lying your way, Joe. And that of my name, dollars. People were saying this is all about money. But they think that twisted that whole argument. What did you do with that money?
$7 million in total was donated to, and I split it between ACLU and Children's Hospital of Los Angeles.
Excuse me.
Sorry, ACLU is a prominent organization, nonprofit organization.
Her lie, she tries to cover it up with more lies.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the giant lie at the heart of this case.
Was donated.
Ms. Hurd's claim that Mr. Depp is an abusive monster. And that she is a public figure representing domestic abuse. At the start of this case, Mr. Chu and I told you that you were going to hear some disturbing and graphic tales of abuse from Ms. Hurd. And they were designed to shock you and overwhelm you, which you have. We told you that this would be a performance, the role of her lifetime, as a heroic survivor of brutal abuse.
That's true.
When Mr. Depp brought this case for defamation, Ms. Heard went all in, story of shocking, overwhelming, brutal abuse. She came into this courtroom prepared to give the performance of her life, and she gave it. Ms. Heard,
which is about as well as awkward.
Christina Sexton testified that Ms. Heard has difficulty crying when she is acting. You saw it.
Yes.
Her sobbing without tears, while spinning elaborate, exaggerated, fantastical accounts of abuse and everything going on in her mind almost a decade prior, while enduring
it. They caught that.
It was a performance. She told you that what she thinks about. She told you what she thinks you need to hear to convict this man as a domestic abuser and a rapist.
Ugh.
She wants you to believe that he was abused countless times.
You can't even count one.
Over the entire course of their relationship. But as Mr. Chu and I promised you, the evidence just does not bear that out.
No, it doesn't.
Ms. Heard has told you that she has mountains of evidence of abuse. But there are no medical records reflecting she sustained any injuries from the abuse she claims. Ms. Heard had medical professionals at her disposal. Dr. Kipper, Debbie Lloyd, her own nurse, Erin Filotti. And yet, there is nothing. Ms. Heard took pictures all the time. Pictures of Mr. Depp sleeping.
Oh, yeah, with the ice cream. Ugh. Imagine doing this, and she sent them to her friends.
Pictures of cocaine.
Make them look stupid.
Pictures of property damage. Pictures of herself. And as an actress, she was photographed all the time. Where are the pictures of the horrific injuries Ms. Heard described?
They're coming, I'm sure.
Ms. Heard also videos frequently. Where are the videos of Mr. Depp attacking her? Where are the audio recordings of Mr. Depp admitting to or apologizing for physical abuse? There are none. What Ms. Heard has, what you've seen multiple times, is a video of Mr. Depp banging some camera, a video that, based on the testimony you heard from Morgan Tremaine, the former TMZ employee,
here we go.
Ms. Heard seems to have sold to TMZ right before she was deposed in connection with her divorce from Mr. Depp.
Because they would have needed the copyright. Here we go.
So Ms. Heard can point to text messages where Mr. Depp is apologizing to her.
Yes.
But never for violence.
True.
Ms. Heard's counsel showed you Defendant's Exhibit 325, where Mr. Depp says sorry or, quote, my behavior. I'm a fucking, but this is not an apology. It's an apology for these, quote, these heinous, flinging insults.
Yeah, it's clearly contextualized.
Mr. Depp is apologizing for the words he used. Unlike Ms. Heard, who you heard apologizing for physical violence in multiple audio recordings, you have never heard that from Mr. Depp because he never used physical violence against Ms. Heard.
There it is.
Ms. Heard told you that Mr. Depp started abusing her right from the very beginning of her relationship.
Get it off to a good start.
Of 2012.
Of course.
But she has repeatedly testified under oath differently to having spent a year of bliss with Mr. Depp before he ever laid a hand on her. And now, in this courtroom, she has suddenly erased an entire year of magic. She wants you to believe that instead of hitting her after a year of magic, Mr. Depp was hitting her immediately. Good time to testify to about repeatedly in the past apparently never happened.
She's right about it being magic.
And with the good times erased, Ms. Heard wants you to believe that she gave Mr. Depp a big knife that said, hasta la muerte, until death. The man supposedly was drunk and high and beat her.
Totally normal behavior.
Ms. Heard admitted to you during this trial that Mr. Depp always wears big, chunky rings on every finger. According to her, he wears rings when he slapped her, hit her, punch her in the face.
W cameraman. Holy
shit. You have not seen a single photograph that reflects serious injuries Ms. Heard would have sustained if this was true.
Yep.
Not one. Ms. Heard testified to an incident in March 2013 when Mr. Depp supposedly hit her multiple times in the face while wearing rings. And this is what her face looked like afterwards.
Damn, bro, she busted. God damn. That was all with the fake metadata, too.
Ms. Heard testified to an incident in Russia where she claimed she had slapped her in the face and gave her a bloody nose. She didn't take pictures of her bloody nose.
Of course not.
But her photograph was taken on that trip, and this is what she looked like.
Pull it up. Let's see it. Wow. Wow, damn. John needs to work on his swing, apparently. It didn't work.
Ms. Heard told you that there was an incident the night of the Met Gala in May 2014 when Mr. Depp supposedly whacked Ms. Heard in the face, leaving her with a red, discolored, and swollen nose that she felt was broken.
Of course.
Ms. Heard didn't show you any photographs of these alleged injuries.
I wonder why.
The photographs were taken of her the following night, and there were no visible injuries to Ms. Heard's face.
Makeup is magic. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just crazy how that could happen? Did she put on so much makeup like that? And makeup having healing capabilities, too? That's weird.
Ms. Heard testified that in January 2015, while she and Mr. Depp were in Tokyo, Mr. Depp knelt on her back so aggressively that she was concerned that bruises would be visible in her backless dress.
Good thing that did.
Here's Ms. Heard in that backless dress.
Listen, thanks for your phone. You guys can't see it. It's a little bit cut off to the left, but yeah. There it is. Maybe it was Johnny that rolled that on her back. That's what
Ms. Heard testified that after an incident in December 2015, she had two black eyes, a broken nose, and chunks of hair missing.
Mm-hmm.
The assault was allegedly so violent that there was blood left all over the pillow, and Mr. Depp had broken the bed frame. Pictures were taken of that bed frame.
And the knife.
And in that picture, there appears to be a pocket knife on the bed.
Ah! There it is.
That picture captured the bloody pillow.
Only a smoking gun. Man, isn't that crazy?
And here is what Ms. Heard looked like on the James Corden show.
She's smiling again. Wow. Just fucking
indeed,
like.
You heard from Ms. Heard's own nurse, Erin Bilotti, that she saw her a day or two afterwards and could not visualize the injuries Ms. Heard described. Ms. Heard did take pictures of herself after this alleged incident.
Thank God.
But are the injuries reflected in these photographs consistent? That's the question. Are they consistent with the brutal assault and serious injuries Ms. Heard has testified to?
Thanks, Max.
Or are these injuries more consistent with Mr. Depp's testimony? He and Ms. Heard bumped heads while he was trying to restrain Ms. Heard to keep her from attacking him.
This is like the first day I watched it. I remember that. Yep. So he said he tried to put his arms around her.
Out of Australia, where Mr. Depp sustained the most serious injury from his relationship with Ms. Heard, Ms. Heard spun a story of horror. A three-day ordeal with a drug-fueled Mr. Depp violently assaulting her, cutting his own finger off, dragging her through glass, and then bending her back over a counter and raping her with a whiskey bottle.
Boy, this is some Elden Ring shit. What the fuck?
Bruises on her face, cuts all over her arms and feet, and was bleeding from her vagina. And what did Ms. Heard say she did? She went upstairs, took some sleeping pills, and went to sleep.
Wow.
The next morning, she took pictures of mirrors her husband had written on in paint using his amputated finger. She took no pictures of herself. her alleged injuries.
He drew a dick with the
property, blood. Property damage she testified to in this courtroom.
Never saw it, though.
When Malcolm Connolly, Jerry Judge, Dr. Kipper, and Nurse Debbie Lloyd arrived to extract Mr. Depp and get him medical treatment for his finger injuries, you heard from Mr. Connolly, Dr. Kipper, and Ms. Lloyd, all of them testified they did not observe any injuries to Ms. Hurd.
I wonder why.
And no one, including Ms. Hurd, testified that she sought medical treatment. You also heard from Ben King. He also saw Ms. Hurd right after this alleged incident. He flew home with her to Los Angeles. He testified that Ms. Hurd didn't want to leave, that she said, "I can't leave, I can't leave. It will be the end if I leave." He also testified that once they did leave from Los Angeles, Ms. Hurd asked him if he ever got so mad he just lost it. When Ms. Hurd arrived in Los Angeles, she saw Travis McGivern, who also testified he observed no injury.
Yep.
And her personal nurse, Erin Pilotti, who documented no request for medical treatment and no injuries in her nursing notes from Ms. Hurd.
That's being dragged through broken glass.
You heard from Mr. Duff's sister, Christy, that she also saw Ms. Hurd when she arrived back to Los Angeles and observed no injuries on Ms. Hurd. Christy testified that when she told Ms. Hurd her fighting with Mr. Duff was unsustainable, Ms. Hurd responded that Christy should get off her cross, that Mr. Duff liked her feisty.
What the
Ms. Hurd's testimony about what occurred in Australia just doesn't add up.
I didn't remember that.
Because there was a monster in that house in Australia, but it wasn't Mr. Duff. It was Ms. Hurd.
Some psycho shit, yeah.
Testimony. All the evidence you've seen in this trial shows that it was Ms. Hurd who attacked and grievously wounded Mr. Depp when she threw a vodka bottle at him, severing his finger. Mr. Depp told Dr. Kipper that when Dr. Kipper arrived to treat Mr. Depp's finger, you've seen the pictures of the bar area in Australia with the broken vodka bottles on the ground and trails of blood dropped on the floor and a bloody tissue on the floor.
Wow.
You heard from Ben King that the tip of Mr. Depp's finger was found in the same bar area. And you heard from Dr. Gilbert that the injury to Mr. Depp's finger could have been caused exactly as he described.
Yep.
And interestingly, you heard from Christina Sexton that Ms. Hurd told her that Mr. Depp injured his finger while swinging a bottle around. Not smashing a phone, as Ms. Hurd surmised in this courtroom. For swinging a bottle on that.
Different story, different day.
You also heard
where
that Ms. Hurd first told her about the bottle rape in Australia while Ms. Sexton was at Ms. Hurd's home, meeting with her lawyers the day before Ms. Sexton scheduled to be deposed in this case.
Very good time to bring that one up.
The evidence presented at this trial shows that this is not the only time that Ms. Hurd disclosed a sexual assault at a convenient time for purposes of litigation she's involved in. The first time Ms. Hurd claimed that Mr. Depp sexually assaulted her in the Bahamas in December 2015 was after Tara Roberts, the manager of Mr. Depp's island, submitted a sworn statement in the UK action describing the incident she testified to in this courtroom.
So she had to dial things up.
Ms. Hurd chased Mr. Depp out of the house, was yelling and then pleading with Mr. Depp to stay while clawing at his hair and clothes, and left Mr. Depp with an injury to his face.
Did it make her sound like an animal? Like a wolverine?
After there was contrary evidence. Ms. Hurd testified about another incident just 2 weeks after the event in Australia, where Mr. Depp supposedly attacked Ms. Hurd and almost pushed her sister Whitney down the stairs. Whitney is the only witness that you heard from that backs up Ms. Hurd's version of events.
What a surprise.
She's it. And the only witness, other than Ms. Hurd, who claims to have seen Mr. Depp physically attack Ms. Hurd.
Her sister.
But just like Ms. Hurd's version of the events in Australia, her testimony about the staircase incident and that of her sister Whitney just doesn't square up with the other evidence in this trial. Their testimony is contradicted by the testimony of Travis McGivern and Debbie Lloyd, who were there that night. Ms. Hurd and Whitney testified that Mr. Depp threw a Red Bull can that hit or almost hit Ms. Lloyd. Ms. Lloyd testified that never happened.
I remember that.
Mr. McGivern testified that it was Ms. Hurd who threw a can at Mr. Depp.
What?
Ms. Hurd testified that Whitney was between her and Mr. Depp when she punched him. Mr. McGivern testified that he was the one between Ms. Heard and Mr. Depp when Ms. Heard punched Mr. Depp.
This is the Kate Moss thing. Remember that?
Ms. Heard testified that Mr. Depp was able to get his hands in her hair, yank her, and then hit her in the face with the cap he had on.
Uh-huh.
But you heard from Ms. Lloyd and Dr. Colbert, Mr. Depp's medical doctor, who treated Mr. Depp's finger injury, that Mr. Depp's finger was in a delicate state.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pin in his finger, a skin graft, and a soft cap that immobilized Mr. Depp's two middle fingers.
Ugh.
And tellingly, the only picture of an injury from this incident is of Mr. Depp with a shiner.
Isn't that crazy how it always turns out that way? I'm starting to see a pattern.
And then we have May 21st, 2016. Ms. Heard testified that Mr. Depp threw a phone at her face, causing a visible injury.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Heard has shown you pictures she claims to show this injury. But these photographs are not to be trusted. You heard from Mr. Neumeister that, like many of the photographs Ms. Heard has presented in this case, these photos were stored in a photo editing application.
Wow.
And these photos show signs of manipulation.
Signs. Yeah.
These two photographs were taken at the exact same time.
They're not
and have the exact same file name. But they are visually different.
Mm-hmm.
One shows significantly more redness on Ms. Heard's face than the other, which doesn't show any injury at all.
This is saturation.
Ms. Heard testifies the difference is explained by turning on a light. But there is no way Ms. Heard could have taken a picture, turned on a light, and then taken another picture with every hair in the exact same place within the same second. It's impossible.
Yeah, that's true. It is impossible.
Moreover, you heard from multiple witnesses, including Officer Melissa Sines, Officer Tyler Haddon, and Officer William Gatlin, Isaac Marouche, Alejandro Romero, on or after May 21st. And saw no injuries to her face before she showed up to that courthouse with a mark on May 27th. And the very next day after Ms. Heard walked into court with what appeared to be a bruise on her face to obtain a domestic violence restraining order against Mr. Depp, Ms. Heard was photographed laughing with her best friend, fresh-faced, with no bruise on her face.
Just a day late. You know, she is a Wolverine. Look at that. Wow, look at that healing. The claws, man. The scratches. Just imagine that.
The amount of evidence that Mr. Depp abused Ms. Heard is simply not fair.
No, it's not.
What we have is a mountain of unproven allegations that are wild, over the top, and implausible.
Yep.
And you can't pick and choose which of these wild allegations to believe and which ones to disregard. You either believe all of it or none of it.
Yep.
Either Mr. Depp sexually assaulted Ms. Heard with a bottle in Australia, or Ms. Heard got up on that stand in front of all of you and made up that horrific tale of abuse.
I wonder.
Either she's a victim of truly horrific abuse, or she is a woman who is willing to say absolutely anything.
Yeah, you think about what the accusations are. It's crazy.
It is disturbing to think that Ms. Heard would make up the horrific tales of abuse that she testified to in this courtroom. This case doesn't come down to whether you believe Ms. Heard or you believe Mr. Depp. This case comes down to whether you believe Ms. Heard or you believe Mr. Depp, Christy Dombrowski, Sean Beck, Malcolm Connolly, Travis McGivern, Darlene Jenkins, Keenan Wyatt, Dr. Kipper,
holy shit,
nurses Debbie Lloyd and Aaron Filotti, Tara Roberts, Ben King, Kate James, Kate Moss, Dr. Colbert, Morgan Knight, Morgan Tremaine, Officers Melissa Sines, Officers Tyler Haddon, Officer William Gatlin,
Miami,
and Beverly Leonard.
Oh, my God.
What Ms. Heard testified to in this courtroom is the story of far too many women. But the overwhelming evidence, weight of that evidence, shows that it's not her story. It's not. It was an act of profound cruelty, not just to Mr. Depp, but to true survivors of domestic abuse. was false, it was defamatory, and it caused irreparable harm. And to talk more about that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague and my friend, Mr. Chu.
All right, so what we got to hear was the court case today. Now, I know the audio might have a little bit of a little flaws in it, but please forgive me for that because there was some issues with that. But anyway, so, you know, we kind of got through the process of what's been happening throughout the last few weeks. And today was the last day for the closing arguments. And so they finished up with that today. And then they finally turned everything over to the jury to deliberate. And so the jury took a break, went to deliberate, then they came back, I think it was like an hour later, and said, we're going to need more time. And so they ended up the court for today, and they will resume back on Tuesday for the jury to continue to deliberate. So, yeah, you know, and again, when you know, the crazy part of the whole thing is that when I really see all this, when I see what you know, Amber Heard has done to Johnny Depp, I mean, it is really sickening. And like I said, and I will always say, you know, I never knew who the hell Amber Heard was. Did you know who Amber Heard was? I mean, maybe you might know. I'm talking about everybody out here may know who Amber Heard is, but I had no clue. I had no clue who she was. I mean, when she was in the movie Aquaman, I would have, you know, if you said that's Amber Heard, I would have never known that. But then we get into what we see who she is in that courtroom, and we see the truth of who she is, and it's really, really, really scary. I mean, you got to think it's really fucking scary watching what she had said about Johnny Depp. When you hear those audio clips that they play where she is, you know, talking to Johnny Depp, and the way she... her demeanor of yelling at him and having control. So what that is, and like I said, I'm an ex-law enforcement officer, and I will kind of will say this, that what she is doing is called control. And she is in a, so when you're in a domestic violence situation, you know, you have somebody that is the aggressor and somebody who is the victim. You have somebody that the person is in control or wants to be in control. Usually it starts out verbally, then it gets physically. And a lot of times it can end up into death. And I really, truly believe, you know, from my expert opinion from watching this, that Amber Heard is definitely the aggressor. I think that maybe Johnny Depp, you know, and again, Johnny Depp is no angel by no means. I mean, obviously he does drink, obviously he does drugs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that is what his lifestyle is. And I would hope that Johnny Depp gets cleaned up. I really do. If anything from this whole court thing, you know, and this whole situation, I would hope that he would get cleaned up and get sober and, you know, because, you know, he has children, and I hope he would be there long enough to be with his children. But the whole point of this whole thing is, and that's why I keep bringing this up, this is a defamation case. Defamation. All right? So what Johnny Depp had to do is prove that Amber Heard defiled him into losing his jobs, into losing income, and doing punitive damages. And I believe that he was able to prove that. I think his lawyers were able to prove that, because you got to think, once again, when she wrote that letter, and again, you know, people are like, well, maybe she didn't write the letter. Maybe, you know, she attached something to it and she said she did all that. But then, and again, she's going to keep telling everybody she didn't write the letter. But like I said, If you go back and listen to the audio clips of her on the stand, she admitted to writing the letter the very first day. And if anybody's been following the show with me, then you will know that that's exactly what she did because we had the audio clip. So, again, her lawyers come out and they claim that she, and of course Amber Heard also, claimed that she never wrote that letter. She had nothing to do with that letter. And we're talking about the opt letter that talked about domestic violence and her being abused by Johnny Depp. Okay? And with her saying that, she defamed him because it was never proven that she was a victim of domestic violence. There was no indication of proof that she was a victim of domestic violence. She went on her own accord and decided to say, well, she was abused and went out there and publicly trying to defame Johnny Depp. And you can clearly hear her say in one of those audios that she's going to destroy him. She's going to hurt him. And that's what she was going to do, and she did. Johnny Depp lost his job with Fantastic Beasts. He lost his job with Pirates of the Caribbean. These are all because of Amber Heard doing what she's done. She was set out to hurt Johnny Depp. Everything you ever see she's done in this court was premeditated. She premeditated everything. She put all this together. She planned this to go after Johnny Depp, to hurt his character. And that's exactly what she did. That's exactly what she did. So what happened is that she was now, and of course she's countersuing him, saying he hurt her name. But the truth of the matter is he didn't do that. We heard Warner Brothers presidents come out and say that Johnny Depp had nothing to do with her being in trouble with Warner Brothers. I think the president guy was pretty cool because he kind of, you know, brought up the whole point that, you know, Amber Heard did this to Amber Heard. And she did, she did everything by acting the way she is. I think a lot of people realize after they've seen her in court what kind of person she truly is and how crazy she is. And I guarantee you, Jason Momoa said, I'm not working with that woman. I'm sure that the executive said, no, hell no. We don't want anything to do with her. Because that is something that is very dangerous to their company. Now, like I said before, Amber Heard did admit to it. I'm gonna really prove this right now. I'm gonna play two short audio clips. These are really, really short. The first clip is her lawyers. They talk about other stuff, but they also jump into it really quickly, saying that Amber Heard, that they back up that she did not write the letter or the note. And just listen to a little piece of this.
Thank you. Your motion.
Thank you, Your Honor. I can only assume that Mr. Chu wrote that speech for an audience outside the court because it didn't really address my arguments. I'm going to focus on what our specific arguments are for the motion to strike, Your Honor. Mr. Chu spent almost 30 minutes of the court's time talking about the disputed evidence of physical abuse in this case, which Ms. Heard hasn't even put on her case, and I can tell you she's not the abuser, and if the case moves forward, she and her witnesses will put on even more evidence of the physical abuse she suffered at the hands of Mr. Depp. But that's not the basis for our motion right now, Your Honor. He talks about how Mr. Depp had a sworn denial, and that should count. We read his testimony. He claims he didn't strike her. But again, that's not the basis for our motion. The basis for our motion is the clear and undisputed evidence of non-physical abuse by his definitions, by his standards, by the standards of his expert, there is no dispute that Mr. Depp abused Amber. And therefore, if he did it even one time, there is no dispute that even under their theory of the case, the implication that they want the jury to draw from the article, which again, I'm not arguing for the purposes of today, because under the legal standard, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to waste the court's time with that. But even under their standard, the undisputed evidence is that Mr. Depp did commit abuse against Ms. Heard, and therefore that those first two statements were false. That's our argument on that. As to the headline, it's funny, Mr. Chu, we played, you know, 2 or 3 hours of an ACLU deposition. Now he says, well, that wasn't our witness. It was his witness, Your Honor. He just spent 10 minutes talking about what Mr. Doherty said, and Mr. Doherty testified that the Washington Post wrote the headline. That is the only evidence, Your Honor. I understand he says, well, Exhibit 1 has her name on it. Exhibit 1 has her name on it. But the only evidence in this case about who wrote that headline is Mr. Doherty's testimony. It is undisputed. They could have put anyone else on. They could have called Ms. Heard for that, because that was not part of the stipulation at the pretrial conference. It was only the tweet that we talked about, Your Honor, and they chose not to do that. Now, Ms. Heard will testify she didn't write that headline, so it wouldn't have helped them. But they've had 3 weeks to put on their case, Your Honor. They've controlled the playing field of evidence. There is no dispute that Ms. Heard did not write that headline. No dispute. Simply saying, well, her name is attached to it, that can't overcome the testimony of the ACLU. They call them a co-conspirator. Of course, Mr. Depp chose not to sue them. But the testimony of Terrence Doherty that she didn't write that headline, that takes care of the sexual violence headline, Your Honor. And I'm not going to take up any more of the court's time addressing portions of Mr.
Okay, so anyway, that what you heard clearly right there said that, you know, she had nothing to do with the letter, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, the letter is also what she considered as the note or whatever that was. Anyway, now Amber Heard takes the stand the first day, and the first question from her lawyer is, why are you here? Okay. And then Amber Heard responds to what she says right here. Now, she says, let me play it first. I'm going to play it a couple times because it's very short. And then I'll show you what I mean. Here it is. Here's Amber Heard.
Why are you here? I am here because my ex-husband is suing me for an op-ed I wrote. And how do you...
All right, so right there, that is an admission of guilt. I'm going to explain to you why. When somebody accuses you of writing something that you did not write, what would you say? First of all, most individuals would say, I am here because my ex-husband's suing me for a note that I allegedly wrote or supposedly wrote. Okay, when you say something of that effect, you're saying that they're accusing you of writing a letter. But she doesn't say that there. She says, I am being sued for a note that I wrote, which absolutely is guilt, admission of guilt of writing that letter. So she automatically admitted guilt right there. So here it is one more time.
Why are you here? I am here because my ex-husband is suing me for an op-ed I wrote. And how do you feel?
All right, so that's exactly what she did. She did admission of guilt. If anybody really pays attention to that, that's an admission of guilt. It's truly amazing. Also, I think after this case is over, and we're going to find out hopefully find out about Tuesday. It could take a couple more days, but I believe that maybe the jury will have everything done by Tuesday maybe. But anyway, once we find that out, I think what Amber Heard's going to do, I'm telling you what she's going to do. She's going to realize she has no money. she's going to be bankrupt after this because she put all of her money into all those witnesses that she was paying $5,000 a day. She is going to have a lot of issues trying to find jobs because of her character and who she is. I mean, even the president of Warner Brothers even said that, right? So she's going to have some serious freaking issues. And what she's going to have to do is, I bet, I can guarantee you, I bet you she goes after the Elon Musk. Do you know why? Because apparently, you know, she has a child with Elon Musk. And I guarantee you that Elon Musk is going to be she's going to go after him for child support, and she's going to want millions because she is definitely a blood sucking vampire in this industry. I think that Amber Heard is somebody who probably has slept her way to the top and became who she is. And the sickening part is if you've never really found this out, this is something else, but look up something when you have a chance. It's called Amber Heard, Her Juvenile Record, where she supposedly was in a car accident and the best friend in her car was killed in that car accident. Now, again, yes, it's horrific and it's a tragedy for somebody. She apparently had to leave her town, and she went to Hollywood with $180 that she had in her pocket. That's all she had. And, yeah, I mean, I think that Amber has a really bad life in general as far as her childhood and everything that's been going on. But, today we can't say, well, you know, what she had in the childhood is a represents for today. And a lot of it does have that. But it's not, you know, we can't say that it's because of Johnny Depp. And Johnny Depp is not at fault here. He's really not at fault. And again, she lost her job. I mean, she's losing her jobs everywhere. Aquaman 2, they don't want to work with her. And I thought it was interesting because the president made the point that it was the chemistry between her and Jason Momoa is the reason why they wanted to recast her. Because she was difficult in the first Aquaman. If you didn't get to hear the president of Warner Brothers talk about that, here's what he said. This is another short clip.
Did Ms. Heard receive a pay increase for Aquaman 2?
No.
Was her role ever reduced for any reason?
No. I mean, again, from the early stages of the development of the
All
script.
Right.
The movie was built around the character of
Damn.
Arthur and the character Orm, Arthur being Jason Momoa and Orm being Patrick Wilson.
Uh-huh.
So they were always the two co-leads of the movie.
Well,
okay.
Her compensation for Aquaman 2 affected in any way by anything said by Johnny Depp?
No.
Was there any delay
Yeah.
in Warner Brothers exercising the option to cast Ms. Heard in Aquaman 2?
Yes, there was. There were conversations about potentially recasting.
With the producer?
Peter Safran.
What, if any, creative concerns did Warner Brothers have about casting Amber Heard as Mira in Aquaman 2?
Good question.
It was the concerns that were brought up at the wrap of the first movie, production of the first movie, which is the issue of chemistry. Did the two have chemistry? I think editorially they were able to make that relationship work in the first movie, but there was a concern that it took a lot of effort to get there, and would we be better off recasting, finding someone who had better, more natural chemistry with Jason Momoa and move forward that way?
This is the guy that
Warner Brothers
that runs it.
What specifically about the chemistry between Amber Heard and Jason Momoa?
Just the fact that they didn't really have a lot of chemistry together. The reality is it's not uncommon on movies for two leads to not have chemistry. and that it's sort of movie magic and editorial, the ability to sort of put performances together and with the magic of, you know, a great score and how you put the pieces together, you can fabricate sort of that chemistry.
That's very true.
And so I think in at the end of the day, I think if you watch the movie, they look like they had great chemistry. But I just know that through the course of the post-production that it took a lot of effort to get there.
All right, so there you go. That's Warner Brothers president talking about, you know, that it was not Johnny Depp's fault that they were having issues and everything with Amber Heard. Anyway, that's exactly what we had to learn today. We learned that in the court that, you know, and again, if you get a chance, go back to YouTube, look up Osmond Gold, and you can really hear, you know, him go through the process of explaining and narrating or whatever, commentating on the video. So it's really, really nice to hear that, to get his perspective on that. And so anyway, that is pretty much what I wanted to really cover today. And I hope everybody enjoyed themselves. Now listen up, Sunday, we should be back at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Paula Alexander, my co-host, will be here with me, and we'll talk about more about this and politics and so forth, and we'll keep you guys informed. But I do want to say that I hope that you, if you're following the court case, this defamation case, this frickin' circus, then you know, join in on Tuesday, excuse me, to watch this, because I think you'll really enjoy what's going to happen here. I truly believe Johnny Depp's going to win. I believe 100% Johnny Depp is going to win this case, and I'm going to tell you that it's all because that I believe that Amber Heard and her lawyers couldn't prove pretty much anything. I mean, they were beating a dead horse is what they were doing. They did not give any extra information. They did not follow through, and therefore they were having a lot of issues. So I believe that with that in mind, that Johnny Depp's going to win. Now, will he get his $50 million? I'm sure they'll award it to him, but I don't think she's going to have it to give to him because she don't have no money. That's why she's suing Johnny Depp. She has no money. So she does whatever, you know, that's what the thing with Amber. She has nothing. She tried to indicate that, you know, she was about as equal of a celebrity to Johnny Depp, but she's not. You know what I mean? So Johnny Depp has been in the business for a very long time. And regardless of the facts of what they were trying to represent, which were lies, Johnny Depp, you know, obviously, I don't think he abused her. I think she was the abuser. You know, she even says in that one audio clip she hits him. So she is the abuser in the relationship. And I think that, you know, she created those bruises. I think she did that for TMZ. I think that she is definitely guilty of that. I think her publicist was the one who was sending or submitting all the videos and everything. But then when they brought the experts out in the court, they proved that those pictures and everything were doctored, that they were photoshopped. I mean, they already proved that. So that's why, again, I truly believe that the jurors know that, and the jurors knew that she was pretty much messed up. And so a lot of people were like, well, we didn't get to see the jury's faces, right, because when Amber Heard was on the stand. But there was a guy who came out the other day. He said he was actually in the courtroom when Amber Heard took the stand. And when she started to, you know, overreact or overact, we call it, because she had his crocodile tears, where she didn't even have any real tears coming out. She just was acting. You know, it was called acting tears. He said that the jurors were stone-faced, which means they had no emotions on their face. They weren't following through with what she was doing, and they were not going to basically, you know, he said it looked like they weren't trying to accept what she was giving or throwing at them. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this shit out. And I think Amber Heard, like I said, she's really screwed herself by doing what she's done on this. Submitting that letter was really the key factor here. And to, you know, defame Johnny Depp from doing anything in the future for his roles made him lose a lot of money. And so because of that, that's why I believe he's going to win. That's why I believe that he will get his settlement because he was defamed of his character. And so that's where that problem lies. All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and close up the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. May you come back and join us again. And we thank you for supporting us. If you ever have a question, you can email me at Paula Pix. That's PAULAPICSLIVE@gmail.com. Until then, God bless each and every one of you. And God bless America. God bless our troops. And happy Memorial Day weekend to you and to your family. If you're going to go out, remember, if you drink and drive, drink responsibly. Take an Uber, take a Lyft, and get yourself home safely. We thank you once again for tuning in. And in honor of Johnny Depp, he will always be our Captain Jack Sparrow. We can always say that, right? So here's a little song to close out for Johnny Depp. Johnny, may you win this case. I know you will. Support you 100%. And so let's go ahead and dedicate a song also out to Amber Heard. Oh, wait. No, her name is Amber Turd. Amber Turd, this song is for you, girl. Because everybody knows that when you're sitting in the courtroom, we've seen that thing. Oh, well, I'll let it explain. I'll play the song to explain it. Here it is.
You're a beautiful girl. pants are on so tight that when you stand just right, I can see it all. When you're on the beach and your bikini's soaking wet, I see a fuzzy silhouette as I look down below. I see your camel toe, your biscuits, your beavage. I see your pooter cleavage, your monkey, your muffin. You ain't having nothing. Your Gucci, your flapper, you're showing off your snapper. Don't you know? I never thought I'd see so much of your anatomy. Your jeans are so tight, I'm learning gynecology. I see your camel toe.